Fletcher First Baptist. We're so glad that you're here this morning. It's a wonderful morning. It's going to be a pretty day. Lots to pray for this morning. You know, we're so thankful we have a big group involved in the children's department. Wonderful job, wonderful song this morning. While she plays something just as pretty, love to have a choir full this morning. Everyone help us sing. Please come to the choir. We welcome each and everyone that would come. Come. Still have room in the choir. Who wants us to come? Let's all turn to page number 45. You found your place. Let's all stand and sing our first song together. Surely Goodness and Mercy. Page 45 as we all stand.
Shepherd found me, and now glad we got a good shepherd this morning that's guarding us, that's leading us, that guides us beside the still waters. As the songwriter said, guards my step each step of the way. I'm thankful for that. We have a lot to thank Him for. We have a lot to be excited about this morning. You know, we're thanking, hear all the buzz and the hype of the Super Bowl, and that's grand and great. But I think we got more to be excited about. We got a great God in heaven, a super God in heaven, that's going to give us eternal life forevermore. So I'm glad we can praise Him and thank Him for that. So good to see you in the house of God this morning. We're going to go to the Lord in prayer at this time. A lot to pray for. Let's remember Brother Charles Guerin, his wife Juanita Guerin. That's the sister-in-law of Brother David, Brother Wayne, and Sister Anita. Went home to be with the Lord yesterday. So let's remember that family, Juanita Guerin. And if you have an unspoken prayer request, go just raise your hand. God knows He sees our hearts. I didn't read the bulletin this morning, probably like most of you. And I don't know who Brother Chris is going to pray for us. All right. All right.
God, we just thank You for another beautiful day, Lord. We thank You for bringing us to Your house, God. We ask that You be with the pastor this morning as he brings us the message, Lord, and just prepare our hearts for it, God. We ask that, Lord, help us not to worry about how the service treats us this morning, Lord, but how do we prepare our hearts to worship You, God. We just ask that we pray over the lost, Lord God, that You will burden their hearts, Lord, to turn toward You. We pray for the hurting, Lord, and the sick, God, that You'll comfort them. Just help us to remember, Lord, that You know the beginning and the end, and You know where we're headed, Lord. We pray for this country, God, and for the elections coming up. We just ask that for You to be in that, Lord, and if it's for Your will to bring revival back to this country, God. We just thank You for all You do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
I mean, remember when you were saved, how the glory just filled your soul and just so happy. Well, He said that joy is ours and no man can take it from me. No man, no matter what it is. Listen to our first song, Over the Glory of Rome.
Pardon to me, sweet pardon to me. think of all the many times I've been spared pain and misery. Even when I played the fool, your unseen hand was there protecting me. And though I've had my share of troubles, I must confess to this reality. As I look back on my yesterdays, I have to raise my hands and say, Lord, you've been good to me. Faithful to your promise, you've cleansed the stain that sin had left behind. And just like it never happened, you held me in your arms so tenderly. You assured me of your mercy and restored me completely. Oh Lord, you've been good to me.
I'm so glad.
Our men will come. We'll receive the morning offering.
Our most gracious, kind Heavenly Father, we come before Your throne, unworthy as we are, dear God. But thank You one day, dear God, You looked down and saved an old sinner like me. And our Heavenly Father, we pray for the many obvious, those who are sick, be of those who grieve, dear God, that's lost a loved one, dear God, You just comfort them on You know how. Pray, dear God, that You'd be with the speaker of the hour this morning, dear God, You'd hide him behind the cross, dear God, let him just speak to our hearts, dear God. We take and apply it to our lives. We pray, dear God, You'd be with our service personnel overseas in harm's way. Have Your hand up on them, dear God. Be with the man of the service. Everything You do, we'll thank You in Jesus' name. Amen.
All of the way, it's good to stay close by me.
And we'd like to say, if my mother-in-law, Mimi, if you're listening, God's going to take good care of you too. Remember my grandmother or my mother-in-law. You can, okay. All right. We have a special treat this morning. Miss Sloan Henderson is going to come and sing our special. Come on, Miss Sloan. Appreciate her.
Was a life filled with aimless desperation. Without hope, walked the shell of a man. Then a hand with a nail print stretched downward. Just one touch, then a new life began. And the old rugged cross made the difference in a life bound for heartache and defeat. I will praise Him forever and ever, for the cross made the difference for me. Barren walls echoed harshness and anger. Little feet ran in terror to hide. Now these walls ring with love, warmth, and laughter. Since the giver of life moved inside. And the old rugged cross made the difference in a life bound for heartache and defeat. I will praise Him forever and ever, for the cross made the difference for me. There's a room filled with sad, ashen faces. Without hope, death has wrapped them in gloom. But at the sight of a saint, there's rejoicing. For life can't be sealed in a tomb. And the old rugged cross made the difference in a life bound for heartache and defeat. I will praise Him forever and ever, for the cross made the difference for me. I will praise Him forever and ever, for the cross made the difference for me.
Thank you, Sloan, for that wonderful song. I'm glad this cross is still making differences in people's lives. Thank God for the old rugged cross. Let's turn our Bibles this morning to the book of Psalm chapter 95. Psalms chapter 95. Psalm chapter 95. On Wednesday night, I preached out of Psalm chapter 126. And we saw how the Lord can turn us to Him one more time. He can restore. He can bring back those that have wavered, those that are weary, and those that have gone astray. He turns us back, and I'm thankful for that. But in Psalms chapter 95 this morning, we see that this is a psalm of praise. That's what the word psalm means. It's a book of praise, the Hebrew songbook that praised and thanked their Lord for all of His goodness and tender mercies. This psalm, I think you'll see, just like all the other psalms, are full of Christ. They're full of the coming Messiah, the one that was going to die there on that cross that Salome sang about this morning. We see that the Psalms, I believe, completes the picture of Christ. We're introduced to Jesus, our Savior, our Redeemer, our great Good Shepherd, as we sung about this morning in the Gospels. But I believe the Psalms, they complete the Gospels. We find in the Gospel, and we know in the Gospel, that Jesus Christ, He died on that cross, and He gave His life on the cross. But you can come to the Psalm, and you can see what was going on in His heart as He was hanging on the cross. We know in the Gospels that Jesus Christ, He went up to a mountain to pray for you, to pray for His disciples, to pray for His sheep. But you come to the Gospel or the Psalms, and you can find exactly what He prayed. We see there's many Psalms, 150 Psalms of wisdom, Psalms of lament, Psalms of thanksgiving, and we see this morning Psalms 95 is a psalm of praise. This psalm, I believe, as we'll see here in a minute, we'll find is about joy. And I'm glad in Jesus Christ we can have joy. There's a difference between joy and happiness. Happiness is controlled by our circumstances. It's controlled by our surrounding events in our lives. Happiness can turn to sorrow and remorse and sadness oh so quickly, but not joy. Joy is independent from happiness. It can only be found in Jesus Christ. And we see not only this psalm is about joy, Psalms 95 is about salvation. We see the word salvation in verse number 1. And it implies for something to be saved, something to be rescued, something to be redeemed, must once have been lost. You know, this morning there's two types of people in this sanctuary. There's either lost sinners or there's saved sinners. At one time, maybe this morning you still are lost, but we were all lost. Undone without Christ, but I'm glad because of Jesus we can sing this joyful song about salvation. It's about joy. This psalm is about the salvation that the Lord brings, but also I believe, lastly, this psalm is about Jesus. It's about Jesus Christ. We can find a Christ, our Savior, in all 11 verses this morning. Matter of fact, this whole book is about Jesus Christ. It points to the coming Messiah. And in studying this song, I see and I was interested and I was drawn to two words in this psalm, and that are found in verse number 7. Verse 7, the Bible says, He is. For He is our God. I'd like to look on those two words this morning, He is, and preach on the thought, He is. Psalms 95, verse number 1. The Bible says, Oh, come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before His presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise unto Him with psalms. For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods. In His hand are the deep places of the earth. The strength of the hills is His also. The sea is His. He made it. His hands formed the dry land. Oh, come, let us worship, bow down, and kneel before the Lord, our Maker. For He is our God, and we are the people of His pasture, the sheep of His hand. Today, if you hear His voice, harden not your heart, as in the day of provocation and as in the day of temptation in the wilderness, when our fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my work. 40 years long was I grieved in this generation, and said, It is a people that do err in their heart, and they have not known my ways, unto whom I swear in my wrath that they should not enter into my rest. Father, we want to thank you tonight for your word. Thank you, Lord, for the songs that we've already heard. Thank you, Father, for your presence with us this morning. I pray, Father, you would speak to our hearts now as we focus upon you. I pray you'd have your way. And, Lord, let us be receptive to the word of God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Psalms 95, preaching on the thought, He is. I notice in our text, number one, He is inviting. He's inviting, just as we see in these verse 1, verse 2, and verse 6, there's an invitation to come. We see in verse 1, to come and to sing and come and to worship and come to bow down, come to make a joyful noise, come and before His presence with thanksgiving. Approximately 1,015 years before Jesus Christ came, God's giving the children of Israel an invitation to come, and we have that same invitation today. Coming to the Lord, I believe in coming into this invitation, we find there's an effort and there's action to be made. You know, today in Jesus Christ, because of what He did, the work He accomplished on Calvary, we have direct access to Him. But in this day, that great high priest, he would have to work and he would labor and he would service and he would sacrifice. And then, and only then, after this great effort and great action, he could come into the Holy of Holies. And let me say this morning, we have such a high priest this morning. That high priest is Jesus Christ. And because of the work he accomplished on Calvary, he's holy, he's undefiled, he's separate from sinners, he's harmless, and he's made higher than the angels. And because of his work, we don't have to work for salvation. We don't have to effort and toil for salvation. That was completed at the cross of Calvary. Salvation, we know, is not obtained by works. For Ephesians 2:8 tells us, for by grace are you saved through faith, not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. We can obtain this morning salvation if you're lost, freely and completely through the work of Jesus Christ. But when we're saved and when we've been redeemed and justified and made righteous in the sight of God, there is an effort, there is an action to take place before we can come into His presence with thanksgiving. We see in verse number 1, the Bible says, as we come into this invitation, we need to sing. And I'm thankful we can sing for the joy that God has placed in our hearts. In verse 2, it speaks of making a joyful noise unto the Lord. And I was thinking about the joyful noise of the Lord. It doesn't mean a nice, beautiful melody that's sweet sounding to our ears, but the word joyful noise, that phrase means to shout. It's to shout with a war cry. You know, we can come to the house of God and say, God, I'm on your side and I thank you for what you've done for me. That word joyful noise, it means to shout and cry of distress. You know, when you come to the house of God, you can come to this altar and just say, God, I need your help, Lord. I'm hurting and I need you. That's a joyful noise. The word joyful noise, it means to shout, not as a war cry or a cry of distress, but to shout with triumph. And I'm thankful we can come to the house of God and say, God, I'm thankful for the victories that you brought me through in my life. There's an effort, there's an action that needs to take place when we come to the house of God, when we come before His presence. It says we need to sing. We need to make a joyful noise. Verse 6, we can bend down and kneel. And I was thinking that yesterday and reading through those Psalms and the great commentaries of Charles Spurgeon. And he said about this text that posture is not everything, yet it is something. He said when we come, posture is not everything. And God can answer the prayer of knee that is not bended. But a bended knee shows the heart. There's an effort. There's an action that takes place in this invitation. I want to say this morning, there's an invitation that God's giving us to participate. He's wanting us to participate with Him. And there's an action upon our part. I notice in the New Testament, as we spoke about the Gospels earlier, Jesus Christ gave invitations. He gave invitations to the multitudes. I was thinking about Lazarus. He gave that invitation. He said, or not to Lazarus, but to Zacchaeus. He said, Zacchaeus,
come down, for today I must abide at thy house. You see, that was an invitation of redemption. He spoke to Lazarus. He said, Lazarus, come forth. That's the invitation of resurrection. He spoke to Lazarus and Zacchaeus. I believe he speaks to all the burdened. He said, come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. That's the invitation this morning of rest. He spoke to Lazarus and the multitudes and Zacchaeus and to you and I about rest. And he spoke to all the, it says in John 6:37, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and to him that cometh to me I will no wise cast out. That's an invitation of reception. Whatever your need is this morning, he is. He is. It's an invitation of reception. No matter our need, no matter our need, our burden, you'll find this morning this invitation that he is. There's an invitation I see, first of all, to participate, to become in front of the Lord with an effort and with action to see him. Number two, there's an invitation, and he is instructing. He's instructing in these verses with a plea. He's instructing in these verses with a great warning. Notice in verse number 7, the end part, the last sentence of verse number 7. He says, today, if you will hear his voice. That's the invitation he draws. He's inviting, he's asking, he's pleading, he's warning us. He's saying, today, if you hear my voice, verse 8, harden not your heart. You know, it's an opportunity. And what a great opportunity. Grand opportunity that when the God of all heaven, the God of the universe, the Creator God, speaks to us and gives us an invitation. But he's instructing us this morning not to harden our hearts. This opportunity, I notice, will not always be available. It will not always be readily available. It will not always last, and it will not always tarry. For there will be a day that God says, no more. You know, he's speaking today, but he may be silent tomorrow. He may be present today, but tomorrow he may be so very distant. He's passing by, I believe, this morning, but tomorrow he may not be found. In Genesis chapter 6, studying this, we see that there is a point of no return in God's rejection. We will not always be wooed by the Holy Spirit of God. I believe it was, Pastor, correct me if I'm wrong, the last time Brother J. Harold Smith came to this church, and I believe it was 2001. That was the glorious revival that I got saved and redeemed. And in this message that he preached, probably his most famous message, God's three deadlines, one of his points is sending away your day of grace. You know, God will not always tarry. He will not always speak. There will be a day when he says no more. Genesis chapter 6, verse 3. Listen to what the Bible says. And the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man, yet his days shall be 120 years. He's telling Noah, Noah, man's rejected me. I've gave that great invitation to come, to come, and they've said no, and I'm saying no more, Noah. God's speaking, man's rejecting, Christ is saying come, man says no more. In 120 years, we find the heavens begin to open up, and the fountains of the deep begin to bubble, and those floodwaters begin to cover the earth. You see, it speaks not of man's years, but it speaks of when he says, my spirit will no longer strive with man. Listen to what the Bible says. It says, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. He began to close the door on the ark. The Bible puts it this way. The Lord shut Noah in. You know, this morning, you can either be shut in by God or you can be shut out by God. He's given an invitation. He's instructing us with a plea. He's instructing us with a warning. And we have this opportunity to respond. I was thinking there as Sloan was singing about those that reject God. You know, there's only one sin that will send us to hell. And that's the sin of rejection. Saying no to God. And the sad thing about hell and those that are in hell this very moment is not the weeping and gnashing of teeth. The sad thing about hell is not even the great torments or hopelessness or the sadness and sorrow they're experiencing. But the sad thing about hell is they didn't have to go. There's an invitation given this morning. God's asking. He's saying, come and put forth effort. Get out of your seat. Put forth effort and come to me and into my presence. For He is. He's instructing us this morning. He's pleading with us this morning. For He is. I see number three. He is undescribable in this proclamation. Notice here in verse number 3. The children of Israel, they're inviting those to come to the house of God. They're inviting those to come and to worship their Lord. And in verse number 3, they make a proclamation. They say, for He is a great God, and for the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods. Verse 7, for He is our God. There's a proclamation here. Those surrounding nations needed to know who this God was. You see, they thought that this God was a local deity. He was just a ordinary God, a God of this small nation, a God of this small group. We find that their beliefs was a polytheistic. They were worshiped many gods, but yet this God, He was the true and living God. And they wanted the world to know that who this God was and where they stood with this God. Notice verse 3, it says, for the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods. Verse 7, for He is our God. They're saying He's above all the other gods. All the other little gods are pretenders. They are mere counterfeits. And this God I'm speaking of is above all powers and principalities. Notice the psalmist tells us that He's great in power. It tells us He is over all the other gods. It speaks of what this God, our God, Jesus Christ, possesses. Notice what He possesses. We see in verse number 4, He possesses in His hands the deep places of the earth. The very low places, the ravines and the valleys, all your lows and all your failures, Jesus Christ has a hold of. But He goes on to say He possesses the strength of the hills. That's the high peaks. That's the high mountaintops, the lofty places, all of our victories God possesses. He goes on, verse 5, tells us that the sea is His and the fullness therein. But notice our text. It doesn't really describe who this God is. You see, He's inviting, He's instructing, but yet this God is undescribable. They say He's a mighty God. He's a great God. He's over all the nations. And at any given point, He is what we need. I was thinking, I came to pray yesterday, and as I come into the sanctuary and come to the altar to pray, I began to look, and Brother Justin, can you put the stained glass on the screen? I was thinking about the stained glass in our text. Verse number 7 says that we are the people of His pasture and the sheep of His hand. Now, I was thinking about the pasture and the sheep of our hand. You know, God is everything to those sheep. You know, to one of the sheep, as you notice, He's by the rivers of water. He is that water for a thirsty and dry soul. To those two sheep lying in the middle there, He is rest for the weary. For the one below His staff that's eating and feasting, He is that bread of life. You know, He is something to all those sheep. And He, at any given time, can be our God, and He'll be exactly what we need. They don't describe who this God is. They don't say who this God is. All the writer said is for He is. I was thinking about He is. God tells Moses, He said, go tell Pharaoh to let my children go. And tell my people that I've sent you, and by the strong hand I'm going to lead them out of bondage, out of slavery. And Moses said, Lord, what if they ask what your name is? What if they ask who you are? What do I tell them? But God told Moses, he said, just tell them I am that I am. He's saying, just tell them I am. You know, God, not only he has, not only he will, but this morning, whatever our need is, he is. He's an indescribable God. And if you would allow me for just a moment, let's walk through the pages of the scripture and to find out who exactly he is. Preaching on the thought, this indescribable God. To Adam, he is the giver of life. To Moses, he is the I am, the smitten rock, and the fuel for the burning bush. To Jacob, he is the ladder reaching unto heaven. To Ruth, he is the near kinsman redeemer. To Joshua, he is the captain of the host. To Mephibosheth, he is a friend of grace. To David, he is the great shepherd. To Solomon, he is the rose of Sharon and the lily of the valley. To Elijah, he is that still small voice. To Elijah, he is the double portion. To Nehemiah, he is the builder of the wall and the restorer of the gates. To Job, he is the living redeemer. To Isaiah, he is that tender plant and the Lord high and lifted up. To Jeremiah, he is the balm of Gilead and the potter. To Daniel, he is the Ancient of Days and the shutter of the lion's mouth. To the three Hebrew boys, he is the fourth man in the fire. To Hosea, he is the faithful, loving husband. To Amos, he is the herdsman of all herdsmen. To Jonah, he is the judge of the backslider. To Micah, he is the one that cast our sins into the depths of the sea. To Zephaniah, he was and is the king of Israel. To Zechariah, he is the branch and the fountain that was open. To Malachi, he is the refiner's fire and the fuller's soap. We come to the New Testament. To Matthew, he is the king of the Jews. To Mark, he is a suffering servant. To Luke, he is the son of man. To John, he is the son of God. To Mary, he is her little lamb. To Simeon, he is the salvation of the Lord. To the maniac of Gadara, he is the giver of peace. To the woman caught in adultery, he is the forgiver of all her sin. To Peter, he is the Christ, the Son of the living God. To Paul, he is all in all. To Jude, he is the one that can keep us from falling. And when you come to the last chapter of your Bible, he is Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. This God is indescribable this morning. And what I'm trying to convey to this congregation is whatever you need, that will be exactly what he is. To that architect, he is the chief cornerstone. I put my notes to the astrologer. He is the son of righteousness. To the baker, the bread of life. To the banker, the hidden treasure. To a carpenter, he is the door. To a doctor, he is a great physician. To a farmer, he's the Lord of hosts. To the geologist, he is the rock of ages. To the juror, he's a faithful and true witness. To the lawyer, he's our counselor and our advocate and the lawgiver. To a news reporter, he's the one that brings good tidings of great joy. To a servant, he's the good master. And to the sinner, he is a savior. He is the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. All the psalmist could say is, he is our God. What is he to you this morning? He's indescribable. The Bible says, for he is our God and we are the people of his pasture. The Bacchanis sings a song. Perhaps you heard it. Well, I'm poor and needy, yet the Lord thinks about me. In troubled times, he's my high tower. He's my refuge, you see. For this world, it has nothing to offer me, so I'll cling to him. For I know whatever I need, that's just what he is. He is my rock. He is my deliverer. He is my strength, my God, and my King. He is the shelter in time of trouble. I'll look to Him for everything. He can be your mother, your father, or your friend. On Him, you can always depend for whatever you need. That's just what He is. He's an indescribable God. He's indescribable in their proclamation. He's instructing them. He's pleading with them, don't harden your hearts. He's only inviting them to come and to participate. But lastly, in closing, I notice He is immutable in His power. Verse 10, the Bible says, it is a people that do err in their heart, and they have not known My ways. I want to say this morning, this God, our Christ, our Savior, is immutable. He's unchangeable. He never changes. He's unable to change. He's unchanging in His ways. He's unchanging in His character. He's unchanging in His will. He's unchanging in His promises and His covenants. You know, Satan tried to kill Him. Man has tried to alter Him. Government has tried to limit this God. But I'm thankful He's unchangeable in all of His ways. This verse, number 10, it says, for 40 years, long I was grieved with this generation, and said, it is a people that do err in their hearts, and they have not known My ways. He's leading and guiding them through the wilderness. They're complaining. They're upset with God. They don't like the manna. It's bland. It has no taste. It's not what they're wanting. And they're complaining to God. And He's saying they've hardened their hearts. They've erred in their ways. And because of that, they do not know My ways. They murmured on God. My question to you this morning is, do you know His ways? Do you know Him as Savior? Or do you know Him as a shepherd? He's an immutable God. He will not change His ways for me, and He will not change His ways for you. Malachi 6, He states, for I am God, and I change not. That's my question this morning. He is our God. He is unchangeable. But my question to you, do you know Him and know His ways? We need to know His ways. We're living in a world that gets more wicked and dark day by day. We need a closer walk with Christ. Let's stand this morning. Misty, you, Jason, Natalie, perhaps you have a song. Play something, whatever's on your heart. I don't know your need this morning. I don't know your heart. But whatever you need, you'll find that's what this God is. Father, we want to thank You this morning for Psalms 95. Father, that psalm that we see that You are immutable, You're unchanging, You're indescribable, You're inviting us, and You're instructing us to come to You, Father. We ask You this morning, Father, You'll help Your people. You'll speak to Your people. Perhaps someone here this morning is lost. You spoke to their heart. The Holy Ghost is speaking to them right now. I pray, Father, they would put that into action. Call upon Your name. Lord, You know the needs of the hour. Help. Hear the prayers of Your people. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Stand. He's the present help. everyone walks out. That's when he walks in, proving once again that he's my dearest friend. And he promised he would go with me always, even to the end.
Just as long as this world stands, promised he would hold my hand so I would never walk alone. And he said he would go with me always, through bad times and through dark days. He would be my friend and guide. Oh, Jesus is the best friend in my life.
The rock upon which I stand, he's the present help in time of need. And when this whole world has left me all alone, I can feel him walking right by me.
And when
everyone walks out, that's when he walks in, proving once again that he's my dearest friend. And he promised he would go with me always, even to the end. He is the rock upon which I stand.
And I pray this morning, if you're lost, he gives you one more chance to accept this invitation. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your presence this morning. Lord, we thank you for these people you sent this way, those who are watching by the way of internet. Lord, we realize that you are everything that we need. Lord, we see in the Word of God you pleading with us not to harden our hearts. It's an act, Father, that we can do. We cannot soften our hearts. That's your word. But Lord, we can harden our hearts. And let us not harden our hearts, Lord, for we need to know your ways. We need to have a closer walk and fellowship with you. We thank you for these people that came this way. We thank you for your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Pastor.
Realize what a great God we have, how blessed we are to hear a message like this. Brother Gunn, thank you so much. He is everything we need. The only action that needs to be required is our acceptance of that. A lot of people have a head knowledge of it. They never come to the fact that taking that head knowledge to the heart. That requires an action, as Brother Gunn said, an action of belief, submission, losing our pride, trust in Jesus. Thank you, Brother Gunn. Thank you for coming this morning. Thank everyone. We're going to have our this time. As you leave this morning, we'll have the financial results back there in the Pass app. If you'll take those, study them, look at them. God's been good to us, and we'll have the business meeting as announced in the bulletin. God bless you. See you tonight, 6 o'clock. Yes, sir.
Youth choir, if you need a copy of the songs we're going to be singing upcoming, I've got it right down here on the front pew. You can just pick up one of those. It's got links to it.